Welcome to the ministry of Dyke Heward Mills. You will be listening to a collection of evangelistic messages, Volume 1. This message is entitled, Humility and Prayer.
Hallelujah. Lift your hands to the Lord. As we gather, may your spirit work within. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that eyes are speaking to watch it, we'll be blessed because we can. We'll be blessed because we can. Lift up your hands to the Lord as we gather. As we gather. Steadfast love of the Lord.
Steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. Mercies never will come to an end.
They are new every morning, Lord.
They are new every morning.
New every morning. Worship him tonight.
Oh, Jesus, your name.
Your name is light. Oh, your name is above every other name.
Jesus, your name.
Above.
sight to the blind.
Jesus.
That his name brings healing to your life. His name brings salvation. His name brings sight to the blind. Jesus, what a healing Jesus you are. What a wonderful healing Jesus you are tonight. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. He's a healing Jesus. A healing Jesus for you. Those healing stripes were laid. He's a healing Jesus. A healing Jesus. Right now, his power is slow. And as you are calling, and as you are calling, his glory is falling tonight. His glory is falling. In his name, sickness cannot stand. He's a healing Jesus. Oh, a healing Jesus. Let his power today. He's a healing Jesus. Come on. He's a healing Jesus. A healing Jesus. For you, those healing stripes were laid. He's a healing Jesus.
He's a healing.
Come on. Lift your hands and be blessed by the healing Jesus.
Healing Jesus.
Right now, right now,
right now,
his power is flowing your way. And as you are calling, his glory is falling.
As you are calling,
yeah, his glory is falling. In his name, sickness cannot stand. Come on, lift your hands. He's a healing Jesus.
Oh, a healing Jesus. Let his power heal your life today.
Lord, thank you that you are a healing Jesus. The same yesterday, the same today, and the same forever.
Yes,
thank you that you are here tonight. Thank you that you are alive, that you are here touching us tonight, healing us tonight. Thank you that at your name every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Thank you for your wonderful presence. Lord, we welcome you. We worship you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, you may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Once again, I'd just like to thank all the pastors for the support you have given to this program. We really deeply appreciate it. And I want to say, Ephesians 6:8, that whatsoever good thing a man doeth, he shall receive the same from the Lord. Amen. Tonight, I want to continue to share with you at this wonderful crusade about the healing Jesus and the anointing of the Lord. Amen. And I have a little book called Catch the Anointing. And I want to recommend this book. I'm going to be preaching from things that are related to and are actually in this book. It's a little one. You can all read it, and it will bless you. Amen. Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us, came into this world and took upon himself the form of a servant and the form of a man. Hallelujah. The Amplified Bible says that he stripped himself of all his divine rights and privileges and became a man. And he was born in a manger, born in a stable, and grew up in a poor man's house. And he dwelt in a simple town far away from the capital, Jerusalem, about 150, 160 kilometers away from the capital, Jerusalem, in a town, Nazareth. And there, he was obedient to his parents, went to church, and did everything that a good person, a good child, is supposed to do. And the question is that if Jesus was just a man, as he often referred to himself as the Son of Man, not the Son of God, the Son of Man, because he was emphasizing that he had become a man. Amen. Amen. And he had all the frailties and the weaknesses. The Bible says he was tempted in all points, just as we are. So whatever temptation you have, if you have a temptation to drink, he was tempted to drink. If you have a temptation to commit fornication, Jesus was tempted to commit fornication. If you are tempted to commit lying, he was tempted to lie. If you are tempted to steal, he was tempted to steal. If you are tempted to bear a grudge against somebody and to hate someone, Jesus was tempted many times to hate the people who persecuted him all through his life. Hallelujah. Amen. And if you are tempted to be afraid, he was afraid. He was tempted to be afraid of going to the cross and of all the people and the wicked Pontius Pilate and Herods of his day. So he was tempted. He was normal. You know. So if he was who he was, a man, then how come he was able to do all the powerful miracles that he did? And the answer is in Acts chapter 10 and verse 38. If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to read with me. Acts chapter 10 verse 38 is our text. And I would like us to stand to read this scripture, if you don't mind. Hallelujah. And we want to read verse 38. Can we stand, please, including those at the back, for the reading of the Holy Word of God? Hallelujah. And let's all read together. It says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And now let's read Luke chapter 3, verse 21. Still standing, please. And it says in Luke 3, verse 21, now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus, also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened. Verse 22 of Luke chapter 3, let's all read it together. And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. Father, we thank you for your great blessing tonight upon your word. And as I speak and minister, I thank you that people will be healed and deliverances will take place. Demons will go out of people because of the anointing. You sent your word and it healed. Thank you for a great blessing tonight in Tema, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. You know, he was a man. He became a man. He humbled himself, took upon the form of a servant, and became an obedient servant. May we be obedient. Amen. I see you becoming obedient to the cause of Christ Jesus. And the Bible says that as he became obedient and took upon the form of a man, that we learn that he was weak and he had the frailties of a normal person. And so there was the need, you know, to equip him with power so that he could accomplish the purpose for which he was sent to this earth. That's right. And without this supernatural power, he would be like any other carpenter. And he would be like any other child growing up in Nazareth. And so the Bible gives us this great illumination to how Jesus Christ became the Jesus Christ that we know. Amen. You know, many people think that Jesus' surname is Christ. That means that his father was Joseph Christ, and so he was Jesus Christ, you know. But actually, Jesus' name was, you know, he was known as Jesus of Nazareth, but he was actually given a nickname. And that nickname was Christ. Because Christ means the anointed one. You know, like how some people get nicknamed Blowman and this and that, and it all means different things. Maybe they used to eat a lot, or they are this or like that or whatever. And so there are different names that people have. Now, Jesus also had a nickname. And it was because of everything he did was anointed. You know, you just pass by and you see somebody dead and them going for a funeral. You know, and he just becomes upset with the funeral. You know, and he says, you know, I'm not happy with this woman crying like this. He was touched, Bible says, with the feeling of our infirmity. And so he would go to the coffin when coming from the city of Nain, and he saw this lady. He came to the coffin and he said, look, I'm too affected by this sight of this woman who has lost her only son. And he just came to the coffin and said, look, open it. Open it, open it. Open it. You just open it. Hallelujah. And when they opened the coffin, he said, and everybody was looking. Everybody was, well, these are public events. These are historical events. Even if you don't believe in Jesus or you don't believe in the Bible, these are events which took place. And he said to the dead body, he said, young man, I say unto you, arise. I say unto you, arise. I say unto you, arise. Now, that's how he got his nickname. That's how he got his nickname. Because of these kind of things. You know, speaking to the dead and say, I say unto you, arise. I tell you, it's a wonderful thing. So he was so much associated with the presence of God and the anointing. And that's what made him change from Jesus of Nazareth, a place on earth, to Jesus Christ, the anointed one. And we understand from the book of Acts where the Bible says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Hallelujah. You see, he was Jesus of Nazareth, but now he was an anointed Jesus. And he became Jesus Christ. And how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good. Tonight, God is going to do something good in your life. Lift up your hand and say, I receive it in Jesus' name. He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. This shows you that sickness and diseases are oppressions of the devil. And what kind of power was Jesus anointed with? What kind of power? Was it electrical power? Was it mechanical power? Was it nuclear power? Or was it hydroelectric power? It was healing power. I said it was healing power. And I see his healing power coming into your life. We all need the healing touch of the Lord. Because we have all been broken by life. You know, we have all had experiences. And we have all been born into a difficult situation. You know, it's not easy. And even if you can't see any sickness in your life or in your body, you realize that your life needs healing. Your life needs a touch from God. Sometimes your life does not even need a teaching, but it needs a touch from the Lord. And tonight I see the Lord touching you. Lift your hand and say, pass me not, O gentle Savior. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. I receive it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And so Jesus was the anointed person, and he went about doing good. Now, how did Jesus become anointed? Because that's what the verse is. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. How did God anoint Jesus of Nazareth? You see that in the verse that we read in Luke chapter 3. The Bible says that Jesus, you know, did certain things. And I want you to see clearly three things that Jesus did. And that explains and helps us to see how he was anointed. He says, now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized. Now Jesus was anointed, and we are now seeing how God anointed Jesus. God anointed somebody who had joined a church. Amen. And had joined John the Baptist's ministry and was now being baptized by John the Baptist. Now there are many rebel elements in the church who are looking for anointing and are looking for God's gift. But God does not anoint Satan. And God does not anoint illegal things. Hallelujah. God pours. The Bible says in the large house there are many vessels. Amen. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. You know, the Bible says, because thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity, the Lord has anointed thee above thy fellows. God doesn't just anoint everybody and just anoint anyone. And you can see here, Jesus Christ humbling himself and submitting himself to the person who was there before he came. Sometimes I look at people who want to be anointed, and you see they are fighting with everybody who was there before they came. Why do you fight with somebody who was there before they came? You don't necessarily have to preach what he's preaching. You don't have to teach what he's teaching. You can have a different message, but you should learn, and we must all learn, to acknowledge the fathers that God gives and puts there before. And even if he's not a father, he was there before you came. Hallelujah. And you see, before Jesus even had the chance to heal one person, a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved son. If you really want to please God, it's not necessarily in preaching and in teaching, but you see, even in humbling yourself. You see, pride caused the first fall, the fall of Satan, and it has caused every other fall since then. I was talking to a pastor in America one time. He used to be the general superintendent of a large section of the Assemblies of God. And he told me, in my tenure as the superintendent or whatever he was in the Assemblies of God, he said, I have dealt with 1,500 pastors who have fallen into various difficulties and crimes and problems and so on. And he said to me that one thing that has been common in every single one of the 1,500 pastors, the common factor in all these pastors and all the problems that have been there, the common factor has been pride. Not immorality, not this, not that, but the common denominator has been pride. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to be great in God's house, you know, to be great in God's house is not necessarily to sit on the stage or to be here preaching in the pulpit. Do you understand? Or to be seen singing or whatever. Jesus told us who is the greatest. And he called a child and he said, this is the greatest. Because they asked him, who is the greatest in the kingdom? And he said, this is the greatest in the kingdom. If you become as humble as this child, you'll be the greatest in the kingdom. And that's why the Son of God went to John the Baptist ministry. And when everybody was being baptized, he didn't sit aside like some of us want to be special. You know, they are being baptized, but I don't want to be baptized. You know, I'll come for a private baptism. You know, I'll see the pastor at home. You know, I don't want to be like all the other church members who have to queue for this and wait for that and so on. I want to be different. But Jesus said, I just want to be like everybody else. And I'm going, everybody's being baptized, and I'm also going to be baptized. I'm not a special person, some different person who has to have different special treatment, and I need your pastor to be baptized in your swimming pool, John the Baptist's personal swimming pool, and so on. He said, I am just joining the masses in the Jordan. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. I said, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will. How many want the Lord to lift you up? I see God lifting you up. You know, there are two jobs at stake. There is a job on offer, and God has decided to play, musical chairs with you. If you sit on the chair, then he will stand. If you stand, he will sit on the chair. Now, what is this musical chair? God is saying, you choose. If you want to humble yourself, then I will exalt you. If you want to stand and lift yourself up, then I will bring you down. So now you have to choose. If you want God to raise you up, then you have to just sit down and humble yourself. But if you want to lift yourself up, no problem. He will bring you down. So God is playing musical chairs with you. Everybody is choosing what he wants to do. Do you want God to lift you up? Then you've got to humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. When the Lord called me to the ministry, one day my father said to me, you know, I cannot stand that my son will live from collections and offerings of people. It's below, whatever. You know, but at a point, the Lord told me to enter into ministry and to humble myself. And I said, Lord, I can't do that. I'm a doctor. I've been to school. What kind of life is this? You stand and collecting 2,000, 1,000, 5,000, 10,000, 20,000. What is that? You know, I've been to school for 7 years. I went to university for 7 years. I don't need all these things for somebody to be looking at me and thinking so many things in their thinking minds. When you drive a car, they are thinking of something. And they are thinking that that's our offering that is going at the traffic light. Have you seen my offering at the traffic light? When they see the pastor eating some meat, they say, ah, my last Tuesday's offering is now in the pastor's mouth. He's chewing the kebab. Mercy. And so I said, no, I cannot take this. And the Lord said to me, you are nothing. You are nobody. You are nothing. All of us are nothing. Maybe you haven't been to the mortuary before, but I will invite you to the mortuary to have a look and see that man is nothing. If you die right now, they'll put you at the back of a pickup and take you to the mortuary. You'll be surprised. You'll be surprised where you will be lying. And you'll be lying in the mortuary naked like a banana. One day, one of our doctors went to the hospital and she told me that, you know, she was a lady doctor, she was going to do a postmortem on somebody. And she said that, you know, there was a lady there who was just lying there, her legs were open, she was there and she had pinned her head, done her nails, everything. And she was lying there dead and there was another man who had been put on this side. You say, ah, you see, you don't know that you are nothing, that's why. So the man's head was here, do you understand? And the lady's head was there, and they joined them on a stretcher. And the man's leg was in the woman's mouth. That's where you see that you are nothing. And that's where you see that you are nobody. By the grace of God, we are what we are. Paul said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. By the grace of God, by the mercy of God. That's why we should humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord. And he will lift us up at the right time. And this is exactly what Jesus did. He came down. He didn't want to be, you know, exalted. Sometimes, you know, you realize that as we go on in life, we become so petty. And many of the things we struggle about is because we see ourselves as big. But if we humble ourselves, it will lift us up. And so the Lord told me, brother, son, just get in there. You are nobody. Everything you have is from the Lord. I had to humble myself. That's how Jesus became anointed, because he humbled. That's why I said, how God anointed Jesus? How did God do it? How did Jesus become anointed? He humbled himself. He joined the masses. Stop trying to be special. Stop trying to be different. Stop trying to be some different, unique person. Just become nothing. Join the masses. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. He will pour His grace. If you were to humble yourself, you would be able to learn from the donkey that God sends to you. You see, because we do not humble ourselves, we cannot learn and receive from the people that God sends to us. We look at them and we just analyze them. No. I cannot receive from this person. That's why many of us are outside the grace of God. Because we can't receive from the person who God has put there. We analyze the person. This man, oh, but I know him. Oh, this pastor, oh, what? What is he doing? Oh, you must be joking. I know him. I know his former girlfriend. Or you see a lady who is ministering the word of God. Say, I cannot receive from this woman. She used to be the girlfriend of the minister of Moon and Stars. But I tell you, if you humble yourself, you'll be able to receive from the people that God gives to you. That's one of the humbling things. God will send. You see, the Bible says there was a parable. Jesus said, a certain man made a vineyard and he went on a journey. Then he sent one of his agents to find out how the vineyard was going. The Bible says they beat him, sent him away. Then he sent another one. Then they beat him. And he sent another one again. Then they beat him. And he sent another one. They beat that one too. This is what is happening. And then he said, let me send my son. And they, when they saw, they said, ah, he has made a mistake. We shall kill this boy now. Foolish boy. He doesn't respect. This is what happens in the church. God sends people one after the other, but we cannot receive from them because we are not able to humble ourselves. It's only because Jesus humbled himself before John the Baptist. That is why God anointed. That is the hour. I'm reading to you the hour that the Holy Ghost descended. That's the anointing. That's when it came on Jesus. When he humbled himself and said, this man that has been sent here, even though I'm about the same age with him, and he's just a few months older than me, and even though I know I'm the Son of God, I'm going to humble myself to his ministry, to whatever he says, and I'm going to be blessed. That's why many of us are not. We are expecting somebody to come from somewhere to be a blessing to us. God sends people with books, with tape. We cannot receive. We don't receive. And we are looking and waiting for something to come from somewhere. Listen to me. If you want to be blessed by the Lord and you want to receive electricity from Akosombo Dam, you cannot say, as for me, I only take things direct. I must have it direct. From Akosombo. How many realize that you will never have electricity? People will think you are mad. Recently, I heard a story of somebody who was promoting nudity. Nudity means nakedness. So he went on a walk from the north of England to the south or so, naked. They kept on arresting him. He said he's promoting nakedness. A person who says, I want the thing direct, is just like this madman. If I see you laying your cable from here to Akosombo, say, I am getting power direct. And I see you on the motorway or going towards Akuse, and you are laying your cable, say, what are you doing? Say, I'm getting direct power. I want the original. I don't want anything that has passed through certain channels which I'm not sure of. How many agree that the person is not normal? He's mad. There is a socket in your house. You just connect to that socket and the power is going to come into your life. Lift up your hand and shout hallelujah. You are mad. You are a lunatic. You are connecting yourself directly to Akosombo. Even when you reach Akosombo, they ask you, what are you doing? Say, I'm coming to connect my kettle. I'm trying to boil water to make tea in my house. I want to iron my dress. So I have come to Akosombo to connect myself directly to the turbines. And they'll ask you, you don't have any socket in your house? That's what the Lord is asking. There's no pastor in your church. There's no man of God in your land. You say you are coming directly, you see. You say you want to boil water to make tea. Because of tea, you have brought a cable from Tema to Akosombo. That's why I wrote this book, because people don't know how to catch the anointing. Make sure you get a copy of this book. The anointing is right there. The socket is right there. Connect and receive your blessing. Connect. I see you becoming connected to power. One day, my little sister was playing with a lamp. She didn't know the power she was playing with. So she put her, the lamp was tall, and she put her finger in like that, and she put her hand there. And then I saw her jumping out. She was connected to Akosombo directly. Right there. I tell you, but when she was able to take her finger out, her whole finger was bent. Because even though the thing was standing there calmly, that was Akosombo right there. Even though the thing looked very simple and it looked like something that you can just buy around, it was connected directly all the way to the Akosombo power. Hallelujah! God is sending you Akosombo power. He's sending you something higher than Akosombo power. And you must humble yourself. Humble yourself in the sight. I wish you people could sing that song. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. He will lift you up. He will raise you up. He'll bless you in the ministry. He'll bless you in life. Some of us, if we were to humble ourselves, we would have the husbands we are seeking for. But because we are proud queens, there's nobody that is suitable for you. There's nobody that is good enough for you. Because you are so big. Your type is not in the church. One day I met a sister in my church and I said, "Sister, are you not getting married?" And you know what she told me? She said, "My type is not in the church." So I said to her, "Which type are you? What type of person are you?" Maybe Jesus would have said, "My type is not being baptized now. I'm waiting for my type to be baptized." If we were to humble ourselves, some of us, we are make-believe businessmen. Every day, like you are doing some business, but there's no business. Surely, there's nothing. You are holding a briefcase, but it's empty. There's graphic in the briefcase. If you were to humble yourself and go and get a job at Valco or get a job at wherever they are having jobs, perhaps your life would be different. But because you are so big and so high, so me, I mean, when they ask you, "What do you say?" "I'm into business. One or two contracts." Humble yourself. God wants to pour his love on you. But you are too big. You see, the thing, it pours downwards. It doesn't go up. It pours down. So when you go down, then the thing can come on you. But when you are big like that, he said, the anointing, it doesn't rise. Bible says that it pours down from Aaron's beard down. It doesn't fountain. It's not going up. It's pouring down. And since you are so big, so high, it can't go up. So it goes on the people that are down. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord.
Humble yourself by the side of the Lord. He shall lift you up. Humble yourself by the side of the Lord. He shall lift you up. He shall lift
lift you up.
Sing it.
The way up,
the way up
is the way down.
The way down.
I know he shall lift you up.
Come on, sing it.
The way in,
the way in
is the way out.
The way out.
I know he shall lift you up. The way forward is the way back. I know he shall lift you up.
Come on, why humble yourself.
Humble yourself by the side of the Lord. He shall lift you up.
Yeah.
Humble yourself by the side of the Lord. He will lift you up.
He will lift you up.
He will lift you up.
He will lift you up tonight.
He will lift you up.
Yes, Lord.
Humble yourself by the side of the Lord.
Way down.
The way up is the way down. He shall lift you up.
Come on.
The way high is the way low. I know he shall lift you up.
The way high is the way low.
The way forward is the way back. God will lift you up.
Come on.
The way high is the way low. He will lift you up.
Humble yourself by the side of the Lord.
Humble yourself by the side of the Lord. And he will lift you up. Humble yourself by the side of the Lord.
Hallelujah. Give them a mighty clap offering. Now notice. It says, now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened. How God anointed Jesus? He anointed someone who was praying. Jesus was praying. There is no anointing without prayer. Prayerless people are powerless people. Prayer is a key to the anointing. Prayer is what gives rise to the intangible aura around someone who is anointed. The aura of the presence of God. Something unexplainable. Someone would wonder, why were they afraid to arrest Jesus? Somebody who was preaching openly, the week before he had been in the temple, casting out the thieves, cursing the fig tree, marching into Jerusalem on a donkey. Why were they afraid? Why did they need Judas? Why did they need somebody? Because there was an aura around Jesus. There was something about him. There was no one who spoke like he spoke. There was no one who was like him. He was unpredictable. There was something about his words. His words have lasted more than 2,000 years. We are all gathered here today because of Jesus. And we are reading the words that he wrote. He never wrote a book. He never traveled in a plane or a car. But here we are, 2,000 years, reading his very words. Reading about his life. Because there was something. And that thing came through prayer. And that is why the disciples asked Jesus, not teach us how to be anointed, but teach us how to pray. You see, when somebody has been with someone and the person speaks about the person, you realize that that person is a man of authority. What people don't realize is what gives a man authority is the fact that he has been with someone. I remember some years ago, one of the presidents of this country, we had a problem in our church. And our church was attacked. And we wanted some help. We wanted to get close to the highest power. So we found somebody. And I remember going to his house to see him, to explain the problem, try to talk to him. And every time I went to his house, you know, there was an aura. Because this person was always with the president. Sometimes we would go there and he was out and then he would come home. And we knew he had come from the highest office. And so when he took the documents and he said, okay, leave it to me. There was some power in those words. Because we knew that that evening he had been with the president and the next day he was going to be with the president. So he seemed to wield some power. And so that's why we were attracted to him. Although he never helped us really, we kept on going there. You get it? Because of that thing, because we knew that he was always with the president. And so we knew that if he says something, it was probably true. Why was that aura around him? Was he physically strong? No. Was he a big man? No. Did he have a lot of money? No. The only thing about him was that he was always with the president. He was close. Always talking, meeting, doing whatever he was doing. That's what makes a person have that invisible aura, that presence, that his words now carry power. His words can change people's lives, can make people turn their lives around, receive Jesus Christ. His words can bring healing. Amen. It's because he has been with the highest of highest. He has been with the Almighty El Shaddai. He's walked with Jehovah Rapha. He's spoken to the Lord. And that is what generates the presence of the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, as we come close to the Lord, to be close to him, to be near to his presence, then we will begin to come near to how Jesus was. You know, when you don't know what to do, look at Jesus and do what he did. The Bible says he joined the masses and he was baptized. And the Bible says he was praying. He was praying. And as he prayed, the Bible says the Holy Ghost, amen, descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, this is my beloved son. I see God anointing you today. As we come into the presence of the Lord, pray. God hears your prayer. God listens. God answers. God will bless. God listens to prayer. Sometimes we pray amiss. But I want to tell you, sometimes we should just pray for grace. Grace is the prayer that God never refuses. There are many things you ask, God may not even listen to you. But if you pray for grace, in every difficult situation, I see God coming to you. You know why? Because grace is what you don't deserve. So when you are asking for something you don't deserve, nobody can in heaven can bring any issue against you. Nobody can say, but he hasn't done it, but she's, you know, but you see yesterday, or but last week and last year she killed somebody. And nobody can say that because you are not praying for what's your right. You are asking for grace, what you don't deserve. And so you are saying, Lord, what I don't deserve, Lord, what I don't deserve. I know I don't deserve. I just beg you, Lord, give me your grace. And Paul said, my grace is sufficient, the Lord. It's sufficient. The grace of God is sufficient for that problem in your life. The grace of God is sufficient for that situation in your life. The grace of God is sufficient. And that's why Paul said, my grace. He said to me that my grace is sufficient. It's enough for you and for your situation. I see the grace of God moving into your life. Moving into your finances. Moving into your body. Moving into your life. Moving into every situation. His grace is coming into your ministry. His grace is coming to your church. His grace is coming into your life. God's grace is moving. God's grace is what you don't deserve, but what he's giving to you to lift you up and to bless you. And then in the next verse, the Bible says in verse 23, and Jesus himself, began to be about 30 years of age. This particular verse is very significant because this experience did not happen to Jesus until he was 30 years. Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, some of the things we pray for, it's not that we haven't prayed right, but we are not yet 30 years. The 30 years has not yet come. There is a time for certain things to happen. The Bible says, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, which bringeth forth his fruit in his season. In the season where your blessing is to come, it will surely arrive without delay. And I see that season happening in your life tonight. In the season of the thing, it will happen. There are times that we pray and we cry. It's not that we have done anything wrong. I tell you, it's not that we are doing something in the wrong way, but the season hasn't come. And the Lord is pleading with you, don't give up my daughter, don't give up my son. There is a season for your blessing. There is a season for your healing. There is a season for your redemption. There is a season for God to lift you up. And when you begin to be about 30 years, Bible says, and he began to be about 30 years. That means he began to enter the season. He began to step into the season where those blessings which had been determined were to happen. He began to enter that era, that phase of his life. He began to be about 30 years of age. He began. I see you beginning to be about the season of God for your life, the season of lifting, the season of blessing, the season of healing, the season of promotion. When you begin to be about a certain age and a certain time. Some of us have prayed for children. But look at John the Baptist. Mother. She had to give birth just a few months before Christ was born. It had to wait. And so the Lord was pleading with Elizabeth, please. Please don't give up. Please don't give up. Please don't give up. There will be a time when Elizabeth, the Bible says, and she began. Oh, I said, he began to be about that time. I see the about that time beginning to arrive in your life and in your ministry. Until you begin to be about that time, about that season, no matter what you do, it doesn't happen. And God is saying to you, like he said to Elizabeth, daughter, don't give up. My brother, don't give up. Pastors, don't give up. The time is surely coming. As the night follows the day and the day follows the night, surely the blessing shall come to pass in the season that God has determined for it. It's your season, brother. It's your season, my sister. It's the season. The season is coming. The season is here. For some of us, the season has begun to be about the season, around the time of the season. Oh, Shabalaba Sandeleke Baralalande. About that time, about that 30 years, because he had to be 30 years. The Bible teaches that a priest was supposed to be 30 years of age. You got to be about 30 years. John the Baptist was also about 30 years. There's a time. And so even though he was 22 and he was full of the Holy Ghost and he was full of the word, there was still a time, sister. There's still a time. Even though you are beautiful, there is a time when God is going to send that. Yes, even though you are fertile, there's a time God is going to give you the child. Even though you are a businessman, there is a time that God will lift you up to be where you are supposed to be. There's a time. There is a season. The Bible says he began to be. Ashinge sunge shinge. Mandi kandi kambe. Rimalino sikre belino. For you are beginning to be about the time of certain things. I see the clock beginning to shift into the season of certain blessings that are determined for your life and for your ministry. Oh yes. And it shall surely come to pass. I said it shall surely come to pass. For I see the Lord doing a great thing in your life. One day, I was ministering, and then A sister in the church, sitting up at the back, her eyes were open. And as I was speaking, I said, I see the Lord blessing you. Suddenly, her eyes were open and she saw this big angel on my side. And as I would point, I said, I see the Lord giving you a car. I see the Lord blessing you. Then the angel, when I do that, the angel will throw a parcel into the congregation. And then a smaller angel will carry this parcel to you. Some people had lifted their hands. Some were standing. So you just put it into their hands like that. And some people were sleeping, yawning. The angels were passing by. Tonight I begin to see certain things flying in your direction. Listen, I'm saying this because it's happening right now. So, this sister did not tell me about the vision that she had seen, but she told her husband. So the next day, I noticed the husband jumping at the back, and I was like, he was receiving, shouting. And I was thinking that maybe yesterday he was depressed, but today he's happy. It was afterwards when I was told about the vision that she had informed him of the secret, that things were being dispersed in the atmosphere. So let us see God lifting you higher. Listen, one time a man came to Jesus, a centurion. And this centurion, you see, this is the power that God anointed Jesus with. How God anointed Jesus. What type of power? Healing power. Everybody say healing power. What kind of power? Healing power. Healing everything in your life. So the centurion's servant was very sick, dying. And he sent a message to Jesus, if you can please come. And Jesus said yes. Learn to say yes. Most of the time, say yes. He said, can you go? Say yes. Can you come? Say yes. Jesus often said yes. So learn to say yes. So Jesus said, yes, I'll come. As he was going, Jesus had a call on his mobile. And the centurion sent a message and said, listen, there is no need for you to come all the way to the back. All the way to your house. All the way to your community. So he told him on his mobile, he said, look, Lord, I am also a man of authority. And I know you have been anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power. So he said to Jesus, he said, Lord, just stand where you are and say something. Don't come to my house. Just stand where you are and speak a word. Say something, and it will happen in my house. I see God lifting you up here in Tema. It's happening. I see a lifting up. A lifting up is coming into your life. Listen. I went to South Africa. And one of their top Christian gospel stars came and he sang a song. And I think he said he wants to dedicate the song to me. South African star. And he said, because last year or the year before, I came to the church and I was preaching like this. I told them this story. And I pointed and I said, you are the next star. He said, at that time, listen carefully. At that time, he was not even known. Nobody knew him. As at the time that he was singing that song, he was the top. You know, and their stardom is different from Ghana. It's like featured with B.B. Winans and so on. He was now playing with those people. And he said, I was sitting there and you said, you are the next star. The next time they are looking for a star, they will come and find you. Listen, it's happening. You see, that's the power of the Lord. And that's why as you go, come to this meeting, I may not lay hands on you. I may not touch you. But the words that I'm speaking, something, that's the healing power. I said, that's the anointing power. There are some of you, I'm declaring the beginning of your season. Your season. Your season. I said your season. You are beginning to be about. I said you are beginning to be about. About. Around. Around the season. I remember I was preaching and I one day I complained to the Lord. I said, Lord, I'm always preaching but I don't see a lot of people. Always a little group. Always a small group. And I said, Lord, I preach to this little group. Then I go and I preach to this little group. And I'm preaching to this little group. And I'm always starting groups. And fellowships and small things. But you see, the Lord was just trying to stabilize me that, my son, don't. There is a mega church, just a few. You see, you are just about. You are about. The Bible said Jesus began to be about 30 years of age. It's marvelous. It's wonderful. It's happening in your life, my sister. You've painted your nails and painted your lips for years. But just around the time that the Lord has determined, you can even wash your face. Don't put anything on. When the season comes, brother, you not pray for the rain. The rain will come by itself. When it's rainy season, you don't have to call on the rain and fast for the rain and pray for the rain. The rain itself will fall on you. You won't even ask for it, but the rain will come upon your life. Have you seen somebody praying for rain in the rainy season? He's rather praying that the rain should stop. About. I say about the time, about the season of your blessing. It will come suddenly and the Lord will do a great thing. And he will heal your life and he will heal your soul. He will heal your mind. He will turn you around. Put your foot upon a rock to stay. I see a light. Somebody is in darkness. The Lord is beginning to shine a light. Because it's about time that there should be some light in your life. After all that you've been through. And after so long of walking in darkness. It's about time. The Lord is saying to you. It's about the time. It's around the time of that light to come. It's happening. Lift your right hand and receive it now. Lift your right hand and receive the blessing. Receive the healing. How God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and with power. Power is coming to your life now. Power to heal you. Power to save you. Power to destroy the works of the devil. Power to cast out devils. Power to restore you. Power to lift you higher. Receive the power of the Holy Ghost. The centurion said to Jesus, just stand there. Just stand there. Don't come. Tonight, don't expect hand to be laid on you. Just say like the centurion. Just say like the centurion, Lord. Just say something. 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 And I know I'm going to have my healing and my miracle. One day, I received a letter from Malaysia. Just leave them. I received a letter from Malaysia. And the letter was from a lady. She said, you came to Malaysia, Kuala Lumpur. And you were preaching. You pointed, you said, I see you having a new car. She said, listen. So because there are more than 30 people here receiving cars right now. But listen. She said something. Listen to me. She said something. She said, the way it is, I had to write to you to tell you. Ladies and gentlemen, I've got good news for you tonight. The healing power of Jesus, it works in Ghana. It works in Malaysia. It works in Nigeria. It works in Germany. It works in Accra. It works in Tema. It works all over the world. Receive your miracle tonight. Receive your miracle tonight. Receive power of the Holy Ghost upon your life. It's working in your life. It's working in your life. It's working in your finances. It's working in your business. It's working in your soul. It's working. It's working. It's working. It works everywhere. It works on all kinds of problems. I said the healing power. It works on all kinds of problems. It works on difficult problems. It works on marital problems. It works on financial problems. It works on sicknesses. It works on insolvable problems. It works. I said it works. It works yesterday. And it worked today. And it will work tomorrow. It's coming into your life right now. He's a healing Jesus. He said he's the same yesterday. He's the same forever. And it's happening. I see him. Somebody's hands are being laid on you right now. Hands are being laid. The Lord is laying hands on you right now. Receive the touch of the Lord upon your mind. Somebody are going to lose your mind. But God is touching you. He's healing you. He's rescuing you out of your situation. It's real. I said it's real. One day, I was laying hands on some people in London. People were falling under the power. People were struggling to stand, crumbling under the power, and the anointing was strong. And I saw some people sitting there watching, and I saw some white people. And I said, I called them, I said, come and stand by me to see if it is real. If it's real, it's real. If it's not real, it's not real. But it's real tonight in your life. I said, it's real tonight in your life. Receive your new house. Receive your new car. Receive your healing. Your mind is being corrected. Somebody's mind is being corrected. Receive your visa in the name of Jesus. 10 visas, 20 visas, 1,000 visas. Receive it. Be transported from here. I see you on British Airways going somewhere in Jesus' name. Receive it. You'll never be the same again. I said you'll never be the same again. You'll never be the same again. When you are come in contact with his healing power. No one who came in contact with this anointing and with this healing power was ever the same. No one. And from tonight, you will never be. You will see a practical change in your life from tonight in Jesus' name. Practically, I said, practically, you will see God has turned your life around and taking you out of the miry clay and place your foot upon a rock to stay. He's a healing Jesus. He's a healing Jesus. Lift your hands right now. Because he's the Lord that he healeth thee. He's touching us. I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am the Lord your healer.
I sent my
Wherever you are sick in your body, if you are sick in your body, place your hand there right now. Whatever your desires, whatever your desires, whatever your need is, all you have to do to come in contact with that power is to be like the centurion and say, Lord, just speak a word. Because you are the Lord that healeth me.
You are the Lord that healeth me. You are the Lord, my healer. You sent your word and you healed.
Touching every life tonight. Thank you for saving our lives tonight. Thank you for blessing us tonight. Thank you that you are the healing Jesus. Thank you that you're the Lord that changes our life. I see changes. I hear the word change. Change. Because you are beginning to be about the season, about the time, about 30 years. Oh, it was 30 years. The Lord was waiting for 30 years. There wasn't anything wrong, but the Lord was just waiting for the 30 years. It wasn't that there was a mistake somewhere, but the Lord was just waiting for the 30 years to come. And when Jesus began to be about 30 years, the blessings began to flow. Father, we thank you for your great blessing. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let me just pray for the sick right now. Father, thank you for healing. I cast out blindness. Satan, I cast it. If you are here and you are being tormented by demons, put both of your hands on your head. Let me pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I break the spell of satanic spirits and evil spirits that are haunting your people. I command you, demons, to go now. In the name of Jesus Christ, receive your healing right now of every oppression of every devil. In Jesus' name, be healed of every power of Satan. Be loose from every satanic bondage. Receive it. Ushers, bring them to the front in the name of Jesus. Father, thank you for your healing. Thank you for your miracle. Lift your hand and thank him right now. He's healed you of every demon. Somebody else could not sleep. You shall sleep from tonight. Receive the blessing of Jehovah. For the Lord is healing you tonight. Blessing you tonight. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your great blessing upon your children. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Demons are coming out, I tell you. pray in the spirit right now. People are being loosed from demonic powers, satanic powers. He sacked those Satan Belemide commanded. Loose and let them go now. All over this large tent tonight. In Jesus' name. Oh, yes, Lord.
And I heal your disease. I am the Lord, your healer.
Father, thank you for healing in the eyes. Receive healing in your eyes right now. Healing in the mind. Madness. Headache. In Jesus' name, go. Go. Be loose. Every depression. Evil spirits of depression, spirit of schizophrenia, mental illness, madness, in the name of Jesus, I bind your power tonight in Jesus' name. Epilepsy, I bind the power of epileptic spirits in the name of Jesus. Be loose. Blind eyes be open tonight. Father, thank you for healing of every disease, of every power of the enemy. Thank you, Lord, for your great blessing. Put your hand on your stomach. If you are not well in your stomach, receive. Some of you feel like heat, the anointing passing through you. Bible said the woman with the issue of blood, she felt in herself that she was healed. She could feel something. Nobody knows what she felt, but she felt something. Maybe you feel something. The power of God is going through your back. Healing in the back. Somebody cannot have a baby. Like Elizabeth, Lord is beginning to tell you that it's beginning to be about the time. It's beginning to be about the season. About the season. About the season. Anybody who cannot have a baby, tomorrow, bring anointing oil. Everybody, if you can, bring some oil. Wherever you are, I'm going to pray with you. Just bring some anointing oil, just your own little oil, and have it in your hand, in your bag, in your pocket. Because a year from now, somebody's going to be carrying a baby. I said a year from now, somebody's going to be holding a baby. Receive it in the name of Jesus. The Lord will do it. The Lord will do it. There's always a day. When you begin, sometimes the year that you are going to have, you enter the year. You don't know that this is the year where you have begun to be about the season of the blessing of the Lord. You are not well in your knees, in your leg. Just place your hand there. Father, thank you for healing. There is a pastor. God is anointing you for ministry right now. Receive the anointing. Somebody, a pastor, is receiving an anointing. Now, receive it now in Jesus' name. Receive it. Receive the blessing. God is lifting you to the next level. Receive it. Receive it. 1, 2, 3, 4. Receive it. It's happening. It's happening. It's happening. The gift of God is being distributed. The gift of God is being distributed. The gift of God is being distributed. The gift of God is released over your life. Receive it now. In the name of Jesus. Careful. Thank you, Jesus, for your blessing. Stomach pain. Stomach. Gynae problem. Bleeding. Always bleeding. Fibroids. Diseases. Infertility. Barrenness. We break the curse of barrenness tonight. In Jesus' name. Be loose from the hands of numerous doctors. Operations and all kinds of surgical activities. Receive the healing of the Lord. Everybody lift your hand and thank him. Maybe I didn't mention your problem, but the Lord is touching you. The Lord is touching you. HIV positive is turning into HIV negative. HIV positive is turning into HIV negative. I'm calling out your miracle right now. Promotion is coming. from the Lord. Father, thank you. Thank you. Lift your hand and just thank him right now everywhere in this place. Thank you for your miracle. He touched me. He made me whole. He made me whole.
He touched me.
He touched me.
The joy
that fills my soul.
Something happened.
Something happened. And now
I know
he touched me and made me whole.
Lift your hands. He touched me tonight.
He touched me. Touch me.
Tonight, I want you to lift your two hands to the Lord and
he
say,
he touched me. He touched me.
And all the joy.
And all the joy
that filled my soul.
Something happened. Tonight. Oh, we thank you for your blessing. Thank you. There are angels here right now. There are angels here right now. Healings are happening. Blessings are happening. Because God has sent ministering spirits here. And his spirit himself is here. Blessing and healing. Oh, he's touching. He's healing. He's rescuing. He's restoring tonight. And make me whole. If the Lord has touched you tonight and you are healed tonight, something has happened. I want you to begin to examine yourself. Many things you cannot see in the church, contrary to what we would expect. There are many things you can't even know that you are healed about. But there are some things. Sometimes you just feel the power of God and you know that he touched you. I want you to testify. The Lord has touched you tonight. Something happened to you. He touched me. How many know that the Lord has touched all of us tonight? I'm preaching, but I know that the Lord has also touched me. Something happened when I was preaching, and I suddenly knew that angels, Bible says, the angel of the Lord is sent to assist, to fight alongside the righteous. There are angels, the good spirits of God, sent to this darkness to help. You have received help tonight. Remember when Jesus was in the garden, Bible says, and angels appeared ministering to him. You have received the ministration tonight. Because at a particular point when I was ministering, the angels of the Lord were sent to minister. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Lift your hands right now. Thank you for your great blessing. Thank you for your wonderful healing tonight. Your blessing. Thank you, Jesus. You can put down your hands for a moment. If the Lord has touched you, you are healed of something. As every head is bowed, every eye closed, just lift up your right hand high. The Lord has touched you tonight. Maybe you were sick, you had a problem, there was something. And you can actually feel, not that you are believing God in the future, but right now, you can see that something has happened. Lift up your hand. And I want you to come. If you've lifted your hand, the Lord has touched you. No, please keep standing for a moment. Please don't sit down. I'm doing something. I'll tell you to sit down just now. But if the Lord has healed you, you lifted up your hand, please come to the front. Come to the right-hand side. Come all the way. The Lord has touched you. This way. This way. If the Lord has touched you, the Lord has healed you. He touched me. He touched me. Hello. If the Lord has touched you tonight, maybe you had a problem, but the problem is gone. The Lord has healed you tonight. Get out from where you are and come and testify. I want to pray for you right in front here. Come from wherever you are. Don't be ashamed. Keep coming. Clap for them as they come. If the Lord has healed you tonight, He touched me. Not that you are believing in the future, but right now, you can see that something. Maybe you couldn't see clearly, but now you can see clearly. Maybe you had a pain, the pain is gone. Something happened. Maybe you couldn't walk, but now you can walk. Just come all the way. Every single person to stand up. Even if you are tired, stand up. And everybody close your eyes right now. If you are here tonight and you know in your heart that you don't know Jesus, Bible says, except a man is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Maybe you don't even understand what it means to be born again. It doesn't matter. But Jesus said you must be born again. Even if you don't understand it, but you know that thing, you are not it. You are not born again. Maybe somebody invited you, but deep down in your heart, you know that you are far away from God. You want to say, Pastor, pray for me. I don't want to go to hell. One day I had a program somewhere. On the way back, one of the people had an accident and died. Nobody knows the day or the hour. Even tonight, God may say, you went to your last church service, but you didn't know. Perhaps tonight is your last night. Are you ready to meet God? Bible says in Amos chapter 4 verse 12, prepare to meet your God. If you are here tonight and in your heart you are not sure and you want to say, Pastor, please pray with me. I don't want to go to hell. I want to give my life to God. Help me. Pray for me. I want Jesus to come into my life. If you are here like that, just stand where you are, but lift up your right hand. Lift it up high. God bless you. Stand where you are, but lift up your right hand high. All over this place. I see all your hands. All over. Lift it up high. Pastor, pray with me. Don't think about the person standing by you. When you die alone. Tonight, outside, lift up your hand. God bless you. God bless you. I see all your hands. Lift it up high. Tonight is your night of salvation. If you have lifted up your hand, I want you to come to me in front here. I'm waiting for you. Just come from where you are with your hand lifted up. Come all the way to the front here. Come from wherever you are.
I surrender all.
Come, if you lifted your hand, Pastor, pray with me. I want to give my life to God. Now, from outside, come. From the right side, outside. Come inside. Come to me in front here. I want to pray for you right here. I want to give my life to God.
Surrender.
Oh, from outside, from everywhere. Maybe you are a weed smoker. Tonight, God is changing your life.
I surrender all.
Listen, afterwards. God bless you. Keep coming. We are waiting. Clap for them. There are more people coming to Jesus.
Surrender all. I surrender all.
Everybody join in this prayer. Close your eyes. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for tonight. I confess that I am a sinner. Please have mercy on me. Tonight is my night. I humble myself before you. I come to the cross of Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Come into my heart. Wash me of all my sins. Have mercy on me. I am a sinner. I'm far from you. But tonight, I come to you. Lord Jesus, receive me as your child. From tonight, I will serve you. From tonight, I will follow Jesus. I will follow Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Please write my name in the book of life. Please write my name in the book of life. From tonight, I am yours, Lord Jesus, and you are mine. Now say, Satan. Listen carefully. From tonight, I will no longer follow you. Satan, from tonight, I will no longer serve you. For Christ has set me free. And I am free indeed. I am free. 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 For Christ has set me free. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Wonderful. Now, all of you, God bless you for coming to pray this prayer. Take one of these sheets that they are giving you and just go back to your seat and hold it. And we'll tell you what. Make sure you have one of these papers as you go back. Everybody lift your hands to the Lord. Don't be tired.
Jesus, how lovely you are. You are so gentle, so pure, so kind. You shine like the bright morning star. Jesus, how lovely you are.
Jesus,
Jesus.
What a wonder!
What a wonder you are. You are so gentle,
so pure.
Hope you have been blessed by this message. For more information, please stop by our website at www.dycuadmills.org. May God bless you.